Hey, thanks for clicking play. This is episode 317 of the IT in the D show. We have a great guest in studio tonight. It's a topic we have not tackled yet, and I'm really interested to see how this pans out. Jeanette Washington's in the house. She is the author of Technical Difficulties, Why Dyslexic Narratives Matter in Tech. Again, this is something. Yeah, there's nothing. We've been here for 6.5 years, never talked about it. I'm really curious to see how this pans out. And
I actually had a developer once upon a time that was dyslexic. I'm interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Davey McFarlane, and ready.
You're listening to the podcast Detroit. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit? Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey, guys, it's Time Hawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
This is the Ladies Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony and Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snoops to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother.
When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show.
It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
That's the best. How long is the intro from our guest? It is long. The longest intro in the history of podcasting. This is episode 317 of the one and only IT and the D Show. We are broadcasting live.
Brosting.
I couldn't think of what studio we were in.
Are we doing chicken?
Yes. What studio are we in?
Two.
We are broadcasting live in Studio 2 in Podcast Detroit. And beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan.
Yeah, there was a wonderful power outage last night, which kind of interrupted the flow and the plan. So August isn't here tonight. One of our guests isn't here tonight. But yes, we carry on my wayward son. We are here in Studio 2 because we didn't want to pull rank and interfere with the other shows.
No.
So here we are.
But hey, this is Bob the Sales Guy. That's Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitters.
Doing the Twitters.
Find us online, itandthed.com. Do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so the Ann Arbor event was tonight, so you missed that.
You did.
The next one will be in November, and off we go.
And that'll be the last one for the year.
Yep.
We don't do December.
Yep,
so.
Because then we'll all Voltron back together for the December event. But the next event is going to be October 17th. That's the one that'll be at Whiskey in the Jar in Hamtramck. Super looking forward to it. It is what it is. To me, it's kind of us getting back to our roots where we took people to little out of the way places that we friggin' loved that maybe they didn't get to very often. And dude, a lot of people we talk to don't go to Hamtramck very often, and they should.
They need to start. There's good stuff going on there.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm still mad that Sunday we did not go for doner kebab. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, no,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I am too.
I was teased with doner kebab, and I mean I wound up with pad Thai roll, which I'm totally fine. Because we went to DSC, but still. So all right, I want to dive right into this WeWork debacle that is, we've talked about this like every week for the past 4 weeks off and on. This is a company that literally 2 weeks ago was talking about an IPO with a valuation of $100 billion. And this week is riding the ragged edge of bankruptcy.
Well, then it's
amazing.
The analysts then dropped it down to like a $40 billion, which was half of what they projected.
And then 20. And then their CEO, Adam Neumann, quit/resigned/was fired/was invited not to re-enroll for the following year like me in Catholic school. And then and now they're trying to shed all of the – like they just bought WeWork. They bought Meetup not too long ago for $500 million, and now they're trying to dump that.
And the latest today, they have pulled their IPO filing.
Oh yeah, they pulled it completely.
Yeah,
the biggest line of bullshit that I've ever read all week was, while our business has never been stronger, the scrutiny directed towards me has become a significant distraction. I've decided it's the best interest of the company to step down.
Oh, Neumann,
as chief executive.
Yeah, well, so and that's the thing. Like you look at, because we talked about this when the IPO filing came out, where. I mean, essentially, for every dollar they had coming in, there were $2 going out in expenses.
But they'll make up in volume.
Right. they have $47 billion in financial commitments over the next 15 years. They have $4 billion on the books as committed to coming in over the next 15 months. So that's the problem. They went out and said as much as their IPO, as much as their S-1 filing wanted to make them sound like a tech company, they're a real estate management company. And so they went out and signed these 20 and 30-year leases.
Because they don't own any of the buildings.
They own very few. I think they own like two of the properties that all across the globe that they work.
So it's not like – so you don't have any assets. You don't have anything.
No.
They have Meetup now.
Wow.
Yeah, which nobody was holding their meetups at their spaces. That was
M-E-A-T or M-E-E-T?
No, M-E-E-T.
Oh, just checking.
No stakes.
Your
in
idea
bacon.
Is still available.
Yeah, no stakes in bacon. But no, so I mean it's – dude, that roller coaster of a ride has just been –
Oh, and the thing we reported last year when they were $18 billion behind in rent on all their properties across the globe.
They still are. They're worse now.
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing. They said they had $4 billion in cash reserves at the start of the year. That is currently down to less than two. They are projected to be out of money by May. So like I had lunch with somebody yesterday who does a lot of stuff over at the WeWork, the original WeWork space, because they're opening up a second one.
Isn't that 1001 Woodward, right, is where that one is?
Yeah. And they took over 91,000 square feet in Tech Town. Can't wait to see how that plays out. But somebody, you know, and her whole thing, she's like, yeah, she's like, I'm looking at contingency plans because I don't know that that's going to be there by the time
she has to.
Yeah.
There's, what do you, I don't like it's one of those things where I just simply don't get. Like, you're shocked that the valuation wasn't what you thought it was going to be.
Well, like I said, because you know, if you read through the S-1 itself, or even you know the analyses that were out there of the S-1, they tried their best to make themselves sound like a tech company trying to ride that tech
dude,
hype.
Well, dude, hold on. It's like if Grubhub, right, paid rent on all the restaurants that deliver for them. That's WeWork's business model. Uber's paying the lease price. Well, so, of all the cars.
So that was
that's their business model for WeWork.
That was the problem that was pointed out in one of the stories is, you know, you look at like the fund that's behind WeWork is also the fund that was behind the Uber IPO. And Uber shares have plummeted like nobody's business.
It's like they almost like WeWork should have acted as a real estate broker or maybe found Absolutely. These places that existed and then put butts in seats and taken 20% like the other ones that are doing well are doing.
Right.
Right, but they're actually paying lease rates?
Oh, yeah. So that's the crazy part is, you know, you look at Uber, which is essentially just a technology company and realistically doesn't have the overhead that a WeWork does. And they haven't figured out how to make money.
No.
So WeWork, it's like this is like two losers hanging around the neck of this fund and oof.
But if you split your business into 17 separate businesses and make them all report to each other in some sort of complex spider web, then
– Right.
Know,
or if you
– It's called a Japanese trading company.
Or
maybe.
If you trademark the name of your company and then sell it back to the company that you're the CEO of, that's really good for you. Mother of God. Yeah, it's like I said, it's just been amazing to watch.
You know what else is interesting? And I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that the feds are now suing Match.com.
Whoa.
Why?
And several others.
Into allegedly.
Match is just the one that right. got they got named
Wait,
in the headline.
So you mean to tell me that there's not hot single women that want to meet me?
Near you?
Right now?
Yes.
No?
No, there are.
But allegedly they're tricking customers into signing up for paid subscriptions and then keeping them through deceptive cancellation policies.
You've got messages waiting, but you need to have a subscription to read them. And see, yet.
Now, here's what got me. Like, those actually get people to sign up. Like, Susie looked at your profile. Like, I better sign up. Like, that works?
I've used Match.com before. It's... wasn't a very good experience. I do feel like they were doing a lot of pulling at me as far as somebody checked your profile out, you know.
Well,
why don't you pay for a paid subscription right. so you can see who it was?
Well, here's the alleged – the FTC is alleging the company sent emails – alleged, right? I got to say that again.
Hypothetically
The company sent emails to non-subscribers on Match about accounts that liked or favorited their account and messaged them on the website or emailed them as part of a bid to persuade to subscribe, even though those accounts have been flagged as fraudulent or ran by something trying to carry out a scam.
So some robo-accounts.
I'm
sure.
I'm,
or they were hiring – Oh, they're hiring click farms.
Shocked.
With yeah.
I'm gonna take a long and winding road to the next story. So Saturday, I did a remote from the Liquid Red Kink Ball over at Token Lounge that with a couple of different shows. That was a lot of fun. The people watching was amazing. So shout out to them. Although my planning was not the best because then Sunday morning I had to wake up and go to the tailgate, for the once a year football game that we all go to. And, you know, I had a blast. So there was that. Then we watched the game over at Vivio's and had the giant Bloody Mary. God bless Vivio's and their giant Bloody Mary, which essentially is lunch, in a boom glass with, and Bloody Mary is kind
How
of an
about
afterthought.
Those Lions?
I can't even like that. I don't understand how anybody even pays whatever. But then, Bob, when you were driving home on Sunday, did you happen to see a billboard on 75 that wasn't showing a Figer advertisement, or a get your windows replaced advertisement? Because apparently on 75 North, there was a billboard that was showing porn. For the better part of an hour.
Yeah, there was – and allegedly reports are that there was a bunch of carjackings that happened on I-75 that night as well.
Everybody stopped to get off, so to speak.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, there's no bell in here.
If you're not familiar with the story, if you haven't seen it yet, I guess a couple – it looked like a couple of little kids.
More came out today.
Broke into – The
Love
the
Shack.
Telco Hut, yes. Right, whatever it was. Yeah, the Jack Shack. It's like a little telco hut that manages the electronic billboard
yep.
that basically flips every like 15 seconds or not.
Yep.
And managed to get an adult film.
Yeah.
to play.
This isn't the best managed billboard in the area either. It's frequently showing a Windows desktop.
Yeah, I've seen – yeah.
So but, it's probably just like some laptop plugged into an HDMI cord routed all the way up to the billboard.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it wasn't.
Nothing
yeah.
secure.
But they could get a $750 fine, which I think is going to prompt every wannabe cyber.
More than that.
Is it more than that?
So technically speaking, if there were kids driving by in cars and any of those parents file a complaint, they were distributing pornography to minors.
Oh, yeah. You're screwed. Yeah, yeah.
Bigger deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Yeah, well, but so the funny thing is you know, Auburn Hills PD is, you know, requesting your help in identifying these two. Like the picture was, yeah, it's basically two nondescript white kids with like
goofy little
with
kid
hoodies,
glasses.
Goofy glasses, bandanas over the bottom half of their face. Like unless they're stupid, which they're kids, so they might. Unless they're dumb and talk about it, they ain't getting caught.
Local
kids,
ordinance.
You don't do it unless you brag about it to your friends. So you know that's you don't leave that quiet.
Yeah.
You know they're as cool.
Oh, yeah, they're talking.
Going, oh, yeah. Showing the paper. Like, you know, here's they got the validation.
All their pictures
the
from inside.
Yes.
And, oh, yeah.
They're looking at 90 days in jail or a $500 fine.
So. Oh, they're going to get more than that.
You think so?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So your favorite topic – and we've talked about them
which one?
More than once because it harkens back to Black Mirror. Dude, Boston Dynamic has basically come out with the little killer dog that was featured in Black Mirror season 4.
Kiss my ass, Boston Dynamics. I hate you.
Dude, it's a dog, and it's even named Spot, so it sounds friendly.
No, it's got a flat back on it, which is perfect
for mounting a weapon.
Rocket launchers and sentry guns. Yeah. Not only that, it can go up and down stairs and it can open doors.
Yep.
And it scares the shit out of me.
It
can stand itself back up if you knock it over.
Yeah. It
no,
is.
There's so much
like
no.
It's the, Bullet Head was the name of the Netflix Black Mirror episode, if I recall correctly.
If you want to Google, or Randy put it on Twitter, but if you want to, it's Boston Dynamics Spot Launch. No. There's so much no. I want nothing. No.
No, it's frightening.
And you know the military's probably had these suckers for like...
We are. Like, dude, we're not going to happy until Skynet happens.
I talked about this at work. What's going to happen is it's going to go into military hands. Military's going to have them for about 10 years. Then they're going to give them to police departments as military surplus.
Uh-huh.
And now the SWAT teams and all that are going to have these blessed dogs with grenades strapped to their backs and flashbangs and yeah, with Nintendo, with 18-year-old kids with Nintendo controllers in the van,
right,
ramming these doors down and then shooting everybody and then leaving.
And Spot has a little brother, Spot Mini.
No.
Oh no, thank you.
Which stands at 2.5 feet tall.
Spot Mini can kiss my ass too.
You probably have a few Spot Minis riding on the back of the Spot. And
why not?
When Spot busts through the door, the Minis jump off and swarm you.
It's like Voltron.
Dude, we're
the legs fall off and then they're tigers.
We're so doomed. But I mean, the good news is they are battery operated. So, you know, for example, if you are, the police department of San Francisco, where they're all very, you know, San Francisco, they're very energy conscious. They're very
rather burn coal.
The smuggler episode of South Park was pretty phenomenal. They're very, you know, conscious things. So like their police department drives Teslas.
No, San Francisco's San Francisco's turning into friggin' Thunderdome. Not Thunderdome, Bartertown.
Oh, it totally.
Because
is.
You know the whole town basically not shit energy.
Energy.
My friends that were just there for RSA basically. So there's an app too that you can count the poop on the street.
Yep.
And there's people that are hired. They make $100,000 a year, which gets you about a 400 square foot studio apartment that spray said poop off the sidewalks. So yeah, they're going to be running on methane pretty soon. That's probably what the future of San Francisco holds. But continue, Dan.
But yeah, so San Francisco PD has Teslas, which is all fine and dandy until one. Oh, I don't know. Runs out of power while it's in the middle of a high-speed pursuit of a suspect.
See, here's the thing. Here's the thing I think a lot of people don't understand, that if you have a Tesla if you don't have a Tesla or have never driven one, when, you know, let's say you get 250 miles on that Tesla, that's like basic driving. Like when we went out and floored it and acted like idiots, like we did 140 miles in like half an hour.
Yeah.
Because allegedly.
Allegedly, going 140 miles an hour on 8 Mile. Allegedly,
hypothetically speaking,
I don't know anything about that. but what happens is when you stomp on it and you're in like active pursuit,
you're in hot pursuit.
You're basically cutting that thing in like the battery life into like a third.
Well, it's like engaging the turbo. You're eating your gas faster. Right. You're eating your energy faster.
I mean, to be fair, it's not like internal combustion engine cars don't run out of gas in high speed pursuits too.
Not like that though. At least you know how much gas you have. Like no matter if you're punching it out. I mean, this is like at an extreme rapid rate where you're going like, oh my God. Like just getting buried.
I just thought that was amazing.
But you know, you seriously, I'm almost done with them, Dave. I'm almost done with DoorDash. I loves me some DoorDash.
Well, so they just got hacked.
5 million customer data.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
More?
Customers, drivers, and restaurants, senor.
Ooh.
All of the above. D, all of the above. Although here's the good news for me. Only if you were signed up for DoorDash between or before April 5th of 2018. I signed up May. Of 2018.
I think I was a little late to the game on DoorDash. No, because I like here I am on Friday night, and I feel like this needs Godfather music the way I'm going to go into this. You don't have to. So I'm like, and I'm super lazy, and I just wanted some food. And I'm obviously going to make it something. I'm like, no, they're going out to some. So I'm like, I'm kicking back. I'm getting me some DoorDash, whatever's going on.
Right.
3-4 down, what do I see? MF and Chick-fil-A in the house from Oakland U. It just got dropped on DoorDash. So now I'm like, yay. And I order me some Chick-fil-A. And I tried to do A with A. And it's at 8. It's 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And it says it's going to be 62 minutes. Like, I'll wait 2 hours. I don't care. Just bring me some Chick-fil-A.
Well, 62 minutes is 1 hour.
That's like an hour and a minute.
So 9:15 rolls. Now my stomach's wrong. I'm getting hungry.
Getting hangry?
Yeah, not hangry yet. I'm just hungry. And 9:15 rolls around, and I get a text because I'm following the car, and it says your driver's on the way, doing the whole you know,
okay,
to the restaurant. He's been his name. I got the whole nine. Now I get an email at 9:15. Your delivery's been canceled because the restaurant is not open, and the order's gone from my order, so I can't even file a complaint.
Wow.
So I'm like, I try to go file a complaint in the general box. I get no response. So then I go to Twitter, and they're like, can you send me your thing? And they go, yeah, they closed the restaurant. I'm like, why'd you take my order in the first place? Like, well, we'll refund your order.
Well, they closed when?
I don't know. They go, we'll refund your order total in 5 to 7 business days. I'm like, what does that have to do with putting Chick-fil-A in my mouth right now? See, I'm hangry.
Yeah.
That's my thing. The refund is appropriate. However, when your mouth is set for something.
Oh,
that's devastating. What I was thinking is nowadays with a lot of these different companies like Shipt and Grubhub, I mean, should we expect a data breach at some point? Should we sign a disclaimer saying that
from everybody
we
you
know
should. From everyone?
That it's not at that's some point, our
they
data
all
may
use
be...
I use a throwaway email address for all of them. I use a throwaway password for all of them.
Okay.
Obviously, you have to put your real address in because you got to have stuff delivered to you. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I try to use as much fake data as I possibly can.
I'm almost to the point of using like one of those Visa card, like those not your bank account.
The prepaid.
Okay, I was going to say like a
just to pay just for all that like bar tabs. Because here's the thing, like a lot of times when you go to a restaurant, they take your credit card in the back. It's not just, that's more.
Did you see the story that came out today about the vendor at a beer stand in Miami who at a Dolphins game over the weekend charged a guy – not even like – so this is how much of a jerk this guy was. Didn't even use the swiper that's there for the vendors to use. Used like his personal Stripe off his phone. $742 for two beers. And the guy was so drunk he didn't even notice until today.
Good God.
Sometimes when you go to the games, you know.
Yeah, so you know what my dinner ended up being that night? I got to end this.
Pizza rolls?
No, it was worse. 3 pieces of string cheese wrapped in salami. I know.
That sounds delicious.
It was sad. It was good.
I mean, it's good, it wasn't Chick-fil-A. No. Yeah.
I'm done with DoorDash. The last time I ordered, like somebody in
wrong.
Southwest Detroit claimed my order. So they had to drive all the way up to like Southfield to pick up my order and then another half an hour to get it to me.
Well, you know what I heard they've been doing?
Took forever.
Is there like multiple stops?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So like
where
are you going? And so people are canceling. They're like, well, no, you're like 6th stop. I'm like, you got hot food in your car.
Yeah. I'll tell you, dude, like I've used it like primarily when I use DoorDash. It's usually when I'm here at the studios, and it's when I get like Little Tree or like have sushi delivered from someplace. If I'm in that kind of mood, and yeah, dude, if you're telling me that I'm like your second or third stop when I've got sushi coming,
no, I don't want it. No,
I didn't even know that they told you what stop.
Oh yeah,
you would be on. Well, see, I just get shipped. I get the groceries. Oh, I live for shipped.
Like, yes. To me, that's the best invention since Uber.
Well, because shipped can't eat the fries on the way to your house.
I mean, they can pick the grapes.
But you do have to put in work. You do have to put in work once the order gets to you. You got to go to the.
No, they are,
kitchen.
Dude. I love those people. Like, I use them at home. I use them here.
That's my thing.
They are great.
So I want to wish a swift – and I want to say death because I don't want to wish death on anyone. Oh. But these people can – you can all go to hell, whoever's behind this, and I don't care where you're from. But apparently Cisco Talos found a website that pretends to be an organization called HMH or Higher Military Heroes. And then basically has a desktop application that veterans can use for job opportunities.
Yeah, offered a desktop application that you could download and have a better chance – At the job opportunity.
And apparently the people behind it are with a threat actor group named Tortoise Shell.
Yep.
They basically – Symantec identified as an attacker who targets IT companies and gain access to their computers.
Yep. It's all malware.
So now – yeah, the whole thing's malware. So now basically they're saying, hey, jobs for veterans.
Oh, no.
And, guys and gals need a leg up as it is. And they'll be prompted – they prompted to download a program. It contains a zip file called Win10EXE, right? And basically when it's launched, basically getting malware. And they take over your crap.
Who really wants malware? Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, but
this is why we hate people.
Go to hell. No, seriously. You want to pray on like – why don't you go pray on old ladies and kids next? Like,
yeah, well, that's the IRS calls. That's usually what those are.
And I got a call, a robocall today about – hearing aids and shit. And I was like, man, you've been put on a list for someone that would be interested.
It may have been a sign.
I'm not. Did you get your AARP card yet?
No. When do you get those anyway? Is it 50?
I don't
know. 60.
No, I think you get them.
No, I think I got my first like ad mailer for them when I hit like 45.
Oh,
watching you.
Yeah.
I'm no part of this. I don't like this at all.
All right. Well, hey, you want to hit a break, or we got one more we want to hit?
No, we definitely we'll take a break. We'll be back. Jeanette Washington from the book Technical Difficulties. This is the IT in the D show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Lives of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is segment 2, episode 317, the one and only IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 2, Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, Dave the geek, Randy, I do the Twitters. He's doing the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, where you will find all the things.
Hey, so here's the thing. Nobody goes into business because they want to collect sales tax for the government. God knows that's not why we started businesses. But it's something that all businesses need to do. So thankfully, Avalara takes the mystery and pain out of the complex process of managing sales tax. And oh my God, is it complex. Avalara uses the power of the internet and cloud services to automate the tax compliance process for businesses of all sizes, integrating directly with the accounting, e-commerce, point of sale, and marketplace platforms that you're already using. Avalara software automatically calculates the right amount of tax that should be charged for every product in every transaction in real time and files your sales tax returns wherever and whenever they are due.
If you ever talk to a small business or like if you belong to – like I belong to a couple private clubs, when those bills come up, it's like almost like it just cripples because they don't plan on it. It's the worst – this is the worst thing have to go through.
That was the biggest argument that the Amazons and everybody else of the world
– they weren't collecting
had. Well, yeah, because it's too complex. if Amazon can't figure it out,
yeah, yeah,
how the hell are you and I supposed to figure it out? But yeah, so I mean, it's a thing. It's, you know, because, you know, luckily from a Podcast Detroit perspective, everything we do is service based. But like we know, like a lot of our folks at cons and that kind of stuff, when they're doing like Motor City Comic Con in particular, is very particular about filling out your forms about sales tax receipts and all that kind of stuff. And like, how do you do that on the fly when you're sitting there at a table
with a square reader
your
in
book
your phone,
with
yeah.
a square? This takes the complexity out of that. I'm actually really looking forward to like telling people about this. So here's the deal. Stop spending valuable time worrying about your sales tax returns and focus on the things you actually love about running your business. What you got to do is go to Avalara. That's AVALARA.com/IT and the D to learn more about how Avalara can help you. That's Avalara, AVALARA.com/IT and the D. It's Avalara, tax compliance done right.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. For the love of God.
Hey, we are very, very lucky to be joined by someone who's been very patient with us so far. But hey, Jeanette Washington's in the house. If you heard in the pre-roll, she is the author of Technical Difficulties, Why Dyslexia Narratives Matter in Tech. This is seriously 6.5 years of doing the show. We've never really tackled this. So we're really excited to have you on. And thank you for joining us.
I am very grateful to be here.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, dude, even something as simple as – and we've all been there – like the dumb stuff. Like, oh, my God, I forgot a semicolon, or oh, my God, I forgot a closing paren, or like that can destroy your code. Having letters transposed in your brain has got to be infinitely more complex.
It is. It's definitely something that has been emerging in research as of late. I think that dyslexia is starting to become more of a conversation that everybody is having, regardless of whether they have it or not. It's definitely a lot more prevalent these days.
So what prompted you to write the book?
I was going
to
ask the exact same question. So,
my background is steeped in speech pathology.
Okay.
And I worked with a lot of individuals who had autism, ADHD, dyslexia, selective mutism, just like the works. So when I decided to become a software engineer, I still held that background dear to me.
Right.
So it's basically I'm merging the two from being a speech pathologist and now embracing working as a software engineer. So it's the love of both professions, and I'm bringing it together into this book.
So what I was just curious, what percentage of software developers, engineers, et cetera, consider themselves dyslexic?
So 1 in 5 people have dyslexia. So with that in mind—
1 in 5?
1 in 5. 1 in 5 people have dyslexia. And I've seen
like in
that—
various levels of severity or just— Is it all in or all out? Because I don't know much about it.
It's definitely a spectrum.
Okay.
So there are different levels of severity. I look at it as I once gave an analogy about the Rubik's Cube and how there are 43 quintillion ways in which you can solve a Rubik's Cube.
Right.
So that's how dyslexia is. Everybody falls on a different end or in a different space on the spectrum. So nobody sees or has the same exact issues that the other person may
have. So it's kind of like colorblindness. From that perspective.
So you know what? This is definitely a divisive topic. I've seen some people say that they've seen ophthalmologists and they were cured. And then other people argue with that and say, no, it's more of an auditory thing. But again, it's definitely something that we're doing more research to figure out exactly what it involves and what it intakes. I've seen a lot of neurological research stating that it's basically a brain issue. You can see with fMRIs, which is functioning MRIs, that those with dyslexia compensate in different areas. So it's really interesting. I actually saw an article today that had some information that I wasn't even privy to. And I was like, whoa. So it's evolving every day. I'm learning more and more about dyslexia.
So who's the target reader for this book?
So the target reader is going to be someone who has dyslexia, who has been diagnosed with dyslexia, and who is interested in being in the tech industry. I'm getting a little warm, so bear with me. Someone who has dyslexia, and it has been diagnosed by a professional, and they are interested in pursuing a career in the tech industry. They're very deeply involved in tech, and they know how important technology is. and they want to stake a claim in the game. However, they're a little nervous. They're apprehensive because of their educational endeavors in the past haven't gone so well.
Now, for someone that's, I guess, walk me through, or I don't know if you know or not, like what does a dev do today that has dyslexia? Well, like what do they see versus someone without? Like what do you follow where I'm going with
yes.
this? Like how, when they're punching or when they're doing code, like what do they see versus what someone that doesn't have it see?
Okay, so I'm going to give you two different background, I guess, concepts, and then we'll kind of dive into the question. So I've done a lot of tech talks where I will talk about dyslexia or autism, and I'll have a ton of people come to me after my talk and say, hey, I have dyslexia, and this is what I experience. And so in doing this book, I was able to tap into those narratives and talk to people who have been diagnosed, and they were able to tell me some different hacks or some shortcuts that they've used in reference to writing code or how it works for them in their specific industry in tech. So from what I understand, a lot of people tell me that they have issues with concentrating. So they have to put headphones on so they can just really dive into the code that they're assessing. I've had
getting
a lot
into
of people,
the matrix type
yes,
of thing.
Yeah. Getting into the matrix. I've had people tell me that they have to use specific software so that they can highlight or understand what they're doing and what their code is conveying. So I've even had people tell me that it takes them a little longer to participate in team meetings or stand-ups because they have to assess the information that's kind of being poured out to them at once. So it's, again, it's a large spectrum.
And now, are they disclosing before?
That's a great question. Yeah. So I've read that 70% of individuals with dyslexia do not disclose that information to their boss.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a lot of reasons. It could be that they think that they'll get fired.
Right.
They think that they'll be treated some different sort of way. They could feel like maybe they won't be regarded as skillful, or their skill sets will be looked down upon. So I'm assuming that there are a lot of different reasons why people don't disclose, but I know that 70% of them do not disclose.
Well, I've grown up my whole life knowing that, like, hey, that kid in the back of the class that can't read, mm-hmm. it's not that he can't read. You know, they have dyslexia, you know, like, and then they figure out a way to tap to fix it. And
yeah,
then
that
all of
compensation,
a sudden,
yeah.
Yeah, it's normal. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, again, we've kind of – I've heard about this my whole life, but like, again, I've never – even in tech, I've never come across it. Probably because they don't disclose, for one.
Yeah, it's definitely a niche thing in the tech industry. It's not really extremely big, but again, as I'm going to conferences –
it's one in five. That's, yeah. that's yeah. not small.
But that's yeah. just in every industry, just yeah. like all over. But in tech, I think it's more again, we talked about a lot of people don't disclose that.
Sure.
So when I'm doing talks and I'm meeting people, they're greeting me with so much appreciation for the fact that I'm talking about this. And they're like, man, I haven't said anything, but these are some of the things that I'm experiencing. And I'm so grateful that you're touching on these points because now I know what to do or how to advocate. So it's blowing my mind everywhere I go. This summer, I was able to go talk to people in Lagos, Nigeria. And it was amazing to see how people gravitated towards me with regard to this issue that they're facing. And they're like, hey, thank you so much for doing this. And I'm like, I'm just doing what I love.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like I was saying before mm-hmm. we started the show, like back in the day I had a developer that came to me and it was one of those things where after a couple code reviews, mm-hmm. I kind of pulled him aside and said, hey, look, like I'm noticing a consistent issue.
Okay.
What's up? And he was like, here's the deal. He's like, I've got dyslexia. And it was one of the, like, he didn't disclose it before that.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Like now that we know, all right, here's just something to keep an eye on. Let's mm-hmm. figure out how to make this work for you and work for us and mm-hmm. cool.
So my book touches on some of the strengths of dyslexia because it's important that we don't get so consumed by the stereotype that someone with dyslexia is unable to produce code.
Yeah, it's not
that
like he couldn't.
Functional,
yeah.
You know, so my book really talks about some of the strengths and some of the things that a dyslexic employee can bring to the tech table, like their big picture thinking, the fact that they can really understand or comprehend systems in their head like no other. their patterns, they're able to recognize and acknowledge, like, people who are right. non-dyslexic are struggling to realize how this particular pattern or how this would look in the long run. So there are some significant benefits of dyslexia.
I'm not equating the two, mm-hmm. but you know what this reminds me of? I just did a podcast with Calvin Moore on adoption, mm-hmm. and it's really funny. The two things that always come up is when, you know, you say you're adopted, someone in the room always says, yeah, I am too.
Okay.
Or someone will reply, you're kidding, right? Now, I'm assuming that I almost feel like it's almost the same thing where if you finally say you have dyslexia, I have such a hard time saying that word.
It's common. People can't. My mom says, what does she say? Dyslexia. Like, Ma, really?
But saying they're dyslexic and then someone else in the room probably like, you know, I am too, but no one ever told each other because it's not something you just mm-hmm. crawl, you know, you scream out.
And it's a lot of people who go undiagnosed. That's why the numbers, the statistics can be a little skewed because there are people living their entire lives, their adult lives, and they've never sat down to really acknowledge this issue.
Like, right.
Okay, so I have this.
Yeah, they may not even know. Yeah.
So how do I intervene or gain those interventions for this? So,
books on Amazon. Where do we see it?
So right now I'm selling it on my site. It will be going on Amazon in about 2 weeks. I'll have it in an ebook as well as a physical book that you can hold in your hand. I am also planning to do an audio book, but I'm going to record that at the end of this month. So that probably won't be available until November.
Who's doing the narration?
Me, of course. Why would I have anyone else?
I was like, you know, we know people with studios if you need someplace to record it.
Yeah. I could definitely check you guys out. I was looking at a couple different spaces, but yeah, I have to do an audiobook because I think that an audiobook would be beneficial for those with dyslexia
right.
who have issues with reading still to this yeah. day. They would love to be able to connect that understanding, that acknowledgement through auditory.
This is I got like 1,000 more questions. I don't even know where to start.
So the reason we actually had you on this month is because October is Dyslexia Awareness Month.
Randy, you knew. Check you out. So yes, October is Dyslexia Awareness Month, and all month we'll be dispelling myths and talking about different things as it relates to dyslexia. I know there is a global conference happening in the UK on October 14th, where they're going to be sitting down with companies like Ernst & Young, Microsoft, Google, and really having that dialogue that needs to happen, because as it will happen, a lot of companies are finding that their dyslexic employees are top notch, are the ones that are bringing things to the proverbial table that no other employee is bringing.
Well, I mean, that's no different than, like, you know, people that are on the spectrum or have Asperger's or something like that. Like, they just think differently mm-hmm. or they accommodate differently.
Yes.
And so, yes, they might have an issue here with A and B, mm-hmm. but C through Z, they kill it at. And okay, how do you get them focused more in that world as opposed to the, you know, the thing? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as we know, dyslexia, well, you may not know, but it's a phonological processing deficit. Mm-hmm. That means you have issues with segmenting words. You may not be able to understand the sounds in those words. And then that can obviously spiral into just larger and bigger issues overall. But I did write down the definition from a gentleman that I thought was pretty profound. He said, defining dyslexia based solely on its weaknesses is inaccurate and unjust. A more precise definition of dyslexia would clearly identify the disabilities that go along with it while recognizing the associated abilities as well. If the dyslexic community could popularize such a definition, then newly diagnosed dyslexics will realize that they, like everyone else, will face their futures with a range of strengths and weaknesses. So I thought that was pretty profound when I read that.
Well, because that's the thing, you ask any common person on the street, like myself included, what is it? I would say you read backwards, or you see things backwards. And it's oversimplified, you know, so kind of.
And I dispel a couple myths similar to that
right.
In the book. I talk about how, you know, the first thing you think of when you think of dyslexia is someone confusing their P with their Q or their B with their D.
Yep.
But it's really the energy they're extending or expending on trying to get the segments of those words correct that they can confuse those two. Because a lot of times you'll see different things online where they'll have this is a dyslexia simulation or this what it would look like. But we want to keep in mind that, again, it is a spectrum. It's a continuum. Right.
So, yeah, that's one example of, but not the entire encapsulation
of. Yes, I've used that in a couple talks, and I think it was pretty profound in the fact that people were really able to engage, like, whoa, that's cool, or I don't even understand what that is. So I think it's definitely a crowd pleaser, but that's not what everyone sees.
Gotcha. All right, so what's the name of your book? Where do we find out more?
Okay, excellent. So my book is called Technical Difficulties, subtitle being Why Dyslexic Narratives Matter in Tech. You can find it on my website, which is buymytechbook.com.
Nice.
That's awesome you got that, by the way.
I know. I was surprised it was available. I was like, oh, let me buy that. So, yes, buymytechbook.com, and it will be available on Amazon and via ebook. An audiobook very soon. So just keep your ears glued.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for spending time with us on your pre-Amazon launch. Oh, yeah.
I know.
Well, by the time this,
Dyslexia Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Nice. Jeanette Washington, seriously, appreciate the time. Technical Difficulties, definitely a look out for the book either on her site or buymytechbook.com or on Amazon. Thank you for the time and kind of educating us on what life's like being dyslexic.
Yes, so much more. But that's why you all have the opportunity to get the book.
Yeah,
you'll be able to really get a crash course because I talk about things about diversity, equity, just a ton of different things that kind of pull back into dyslexia and what it's like in the workplace. It's my love letter to those that experience dyslexia. I want them to know that they still have a fighting chance to, you know, get themselves in the tech industry as it emerges. I know we're embracing our fourth industrial age, mm-hmm. so we need to buckle our seatbelts. And I want them to know that they, too, can be a part of the revolution. It won't be televised, but they can still be a part of it.
It might be, too. Who knows?
It'll be you, too.
Who knows by
then? It'll
be
streamed.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, Jeanette, thanks for the time. This is going to wrap things up for episode 317. I'd like to thank Jeanette Washington. Great topic. Appreciate the time. I'd like to thank Avalara for keeping the lights on behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you guys.
Bye.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. Run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the trees. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. Show
now. I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.